This is Samarkand. The city and empire was built to show off. Timur conquered from Delhi to the Mediterranean and marched the best craftsmen of every fallen city home to build his capital. So the blue you will see all day is conquest, made permanent by other people's hands. What you're about to walk is ruin and repair. Earthquakes and neglect took most of this down once. And you are looking at how each century chose to put it back. You're looking at the turquoise dome of the Gur-e-Amir, the tomb of the king, and under it lies Timur himself, alongside his sons, his grandsons, and the teacher who blessed him when he came to power in 1370. The building you see was never meant for him. Timur built it in 1404 for his grandson Muhammad Sultan, his heir, who had died the year before. Timur had already built himself a tomb at Shahrisabz, his hometown. But when he died in February 1405 on campaign, the passes were snowed in, so they brought him here instead. The architect's name is on the portal, Muhammad ibn Mahmud from Isfahan. Timur pulled him and thousands of other craftsmen from the cities he'd conquered and put them to work turning Samarkand into the capital the empire deserved. The Spanish ambassador Clavijo, who visited in 1404, recorded that Timur judged the burial chapel too low and had it torn down and rebuilt in 10 days. Whether it was that fast or not, the story tells you what kind of builder Timur was. The city was in a state of constant construction, and he would order buildings done and redone if he was unsatisfied. The dome is double-shelled, an inner dome you'd see from inside, a taller outer dome visible from the city, supported on a tall cylindrical drum bulging at the sides and pointed at the top. The two minarets flanking the entrance are 1996 reconstructions, built from old photographs after independence. Inside the cenotaphs, the markers you see upstairs are not the graves. The graves are in a crypt directly below, and the crypt is where Timur lies. Over his grave is a single block of dark green jade. The story of the stone has two versions. One says it came from a Chinese emperor's palace and later served as the throne of Duwa, a descendant of Genghis Khan. The other says Ulugh Beg, Timur's astronomer grandson, brought it back as a trophy from his 1425 campaign, when Soviet scientists opened the tomb days before the German invasion in June 1941. They found his body had been embalmed with musk and rose water, wrapped in linen, and laid in an ebony coffin. The tomb carried inscriptions warning that opening it would unleash an invader more terrible than Timur himself. People close to the lead scientist, Gerasimov, called the curse story a fabrication, but the legend persists. Timur was reburied with full Islamic rites in late 1942 as Stalingrad turned. In the courtyard outside stands the Kuktash, the coronation stone. Central Asian rulers were crowned on it from the Timurids through to the Bukharan Emir Muzaffar in the mid-19th century, a throne stone that outlasted the dynasty it was made for. Just behind this dome is the tomb the dynasty could not afford to finish.